Welcome to Lift. This is season 7 of this podcast, where this season we're going to be talking still about faith in life, but we're going to be asking questions about faith. We're going to start this season asking about Lent and the season of Lent as Christians. Why do we celebrate it? What is it? And why does it matter to me? I'm hoping that you will find new insights into Lent, Holy Week, and Easter. Then we're going to continue to ask questions about faith, questions that you probably have that maybe you've just never asked, maybe questions your kid have asked you that you don't quite know how to respond. We're going to dive into those and see what it can mean for us and how asking questions can help us connect to our faith. Welcome back, as Winston makes me shudder in my seat by asking me uncomfortable questions about faith.
Shudder.
Some days you make me shudder. Actually, I really enjoy it. So what you got for me today?
Okay, so we're going to go back to that might have been our very first real conversation.
I think so.
So you're walking the hallway. I think you're on your way to a funeral. And I remember just kind of asking you just out of the blue, you know, why, if we believe what we believe, then why are Christians sad at funerals?
Okay, so I want to paint. I will answer that question. I'm not avoiding it. I want to paint the picture, though, because I don't think people understand where you work and who I am. So I was actually walking down the hallway robed up. Yeah. So I have my black clergy robe on and a white stole around me, and I'm just walking down the hall. Like, I sometimes forget that that's a part of my rhythm. Like, one day I was walking down the hall back to my office, probably from a funeral, and like a delivery guy, like, shut. He was like, whoa, you know, like, I forget that this isn't normal. Like, right. Most people don't walk down the hallway in their office in a clergy robe.
And most people don't get asked that question.
Right. So I was actually coming back from a funeral when you asked me that. And you're like, okay, I have a question. First of all, because I had told you that I love doing funerals.
Yes.
And you were like, oh, sorry, what? Because that doesn't make sense. We'll get into that. And then you asked me, but I guess, like, why are we sad at funerals? So I'm going to name two things. Every emotion that we have as humans is real and true. How we choose to deal with it is our option and our choice. So one thing I say as a pastor, as I'm welcoming people, and it comes from the book of worship, is we are here to mourn a human loss.
Okay.
That's a
real...
Jesus cried when his friends died. Huh. Duh. Like, God cried. Like, Jesus cried when his friends died. Why do we think we wouldn't? Like, death is sad. Death is loss. But it doesn't look the same for each person or each death. The reason I love officiating funerals, and I say love, there might be another word that I should use there, but it is, to me, one of the most holy things I get to do as a pastor. Hmm. I get to sit sometimes in a room when somebody is dying and see them and pray with them. What we don't do well in our society is deal with death, right? Death used to be a part of life. Death was your neighbor died, you went over, the neighbor was laid out on a table in the living room. But that was a part of society. And you went and you told stories, and death wasn't scary and foreign. It was a rhythm of life. Death is still a rhythm of life. Like, shocking moment here. We're all going to die. My son at one point, my older son, used to say, I mean, I don't know. I could be invincible. I haven't died yet.
I was going to say, speak for yourself, Kim. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that everybody in this room will eventually die. You can debate that later. But what we've done different is we have outsourced death in our society. We have hospice nurses and doctors that help us deal with death. We have funeral homes that take care of death. And we don't like talking about death and dying. It makes us uncomfortable.
Do you think that's the human part of just thinking you're never going to see that person again? Or you think, like, what's the thing you feel that's the thing that makes us uncomfortable talking about it?
Because we don't have practice at it. It's not like it occurs every Tuesday.
Yeah, you don't really experience it until you experience it,
exactly.
Right?
Like, and that's, like, I recently had the gracious, holy, beautiful opportunity to walk with a family. The son moved back, helped take care of his dad, who was diagnosed with cancer. And I went over, like, once a week and just prayed with them, talked with them, you know, got to know him. Towards the end of his life, because he was dying, I would talk to him about death and what are you afraid of? What are you excited about? You don't do that.
Yeah.
Right? But man, those are some holy conversations.
Is it okay if I ask, like, kind of what were some of the responses?
No, I don't want to do that because that was his conversation to have. In all my craziness, I take pastoral privilege very seriously. So, and I can't ask him if I can share because, you know, he's gone.
Well,
he's not gone. Jennifer Powell would get on me. He is dead. That's the other thing. We use pretty language when we talk about death. Like, we lost them. You didn't lose them. You know where they're at. They died.
Okay, so walk me through that. So, yeah, you said a lot just occurred
there.
Let's take a step back. So, okay, you said Jennifer Powell would say that you didn't. You say that again?
We use fluffy language when we talk about death to make it sound easier.
Okay.
Especially when we're talking about death with children, you've got to be concrete. Most of the time, the first death a child will experience is of a pet.
Okay.
That happened in our family. Our labs were both sick for different reasons. One couldn't walk. One had this, like, ear thing, and we had to put them both down. Okay. It was not ideal. We sat down. We talked with our boys. They were, I don't know, younger.
Yeah.
Younger elementary. And we said to them, the dogs had to be put to sleep, which in an adult sense, we know what that means.
Yeah.
And so both of our boys are eating dinner. We're at the dinner table and they just keep eating. And I kind of look at Dan. Dan looks at me. I'm like, oh, my God, our kids don't have souls. Right. Well, 2 weeks later at dinner, one of our children says, when are the dogs going to wake up? Uh-huh. And Dan and I looked at each other again with a different expression of, man.
Didn't stick the landing on that one.
And it's because I used fluffy language to talk about death. The dogs died. They were sick and they died. Is how I should have dealt with that conversation. I wanted to use things that would make them feel better.
Right.
And in that, my goodness, that night was long. Because they were just waiting for the dogs to come back from the vet.
So it didn't hit them until
that night. That night. Man, it was a mess, right?
Right.
I think we do that. Now, listen, I'm not saying there's got to be a boundary because also there is a place of people feel more comfortable with saying, my dad passed away or we lost our father today. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying sometimes we say these things to make death feel easier and lighter. And grief is grief is grief is grief. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to deal with it in a different way. The original question is why are Christians sad at funerals?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And it's because we're human. It's because we've lost something. That doesn't make us bad Christians. Now, what we do have in funerals, opposite than a funeral at a funeral home without a pastor, without the gospel,
okay,
is we have hope in death.
Explain that.
Jesus conquered death. We have hope in the resurrection. We have hope in death. We know that in dying, sometimes you're released from horrible pain. And right? Like, now you can have that in a atheist and a non-Christian view that they're no longer in pain, right?
Right.
But in faith, we have, not only are they not in pain, but they're now living in glory. Like, not in pain, great, but now not in pain and thriving. They are living their best life.
And so that's where, for me, I still think it gets a little bit confusing because what you just said is like, then you should be excited for them.
Okay. So there's this story about a pastor talking about how amazing heaven is. And you want to, like, just heaven's everything right. you've ever wanted. And you just up front, like, and like, tell me, who wants to go to heaven? And the only person that raised their hand was like a 5-year-old little kid. Because I don't want to go to heaven tomorrow. I love my life. I'm not ready. Now, do I get to choose? And blah, blah, blah. Right. That's a whole other podcast about God's. We'll just leave it at that. But in the same breath, I know that I can only imagine the people that greet me when I get there, and that love there is going to be like a love we don't even get, like the purest form of love there is, and joy in the purest, like, sign me up. But that doesn't mean that my humanity here on earth isn't a part of being like, but not yet.
Okay.
Right?
No, I agree 100%. I mean,
if God were to, like, have a cell phone and call me and be like, hey, Kim, how about tomorrow? I'd be like, I mean, yes, but no. Right? The reason that I think funerals are one of the holiest things I get to do is because we get to be vulnerable and real and see people. I'm not saying that weddings aren't that way, but there are times that weddings are what we do before the fun party.
That's kind of, I was going to say, that's kind of all it is. Sure. Well, not always, but yes.
But yes, right? Yeah. And weddings, you have a long time to plan out. There can be drama, can build, and right?
Yeah.
A funeral is never planned most of the time. Like, I got my mom's funeral in her, like, she's laid out what she wants, but it'll still be shocking and sad when it happens, right? So right. you don't have that time to, and even if you have time with somebody who is dying, there's grief that comes from the head and grief that comes from the heart. You can expect death and know death is coming. And still have a really hard time when it comes, yeah. you know, and or have guilt because you're relieved that they are gone, right? The grief is, one of the counselors that used to work here described it as a wave, and you just never know when it's going to come in and hit you. And that's the reality of our death and human loss. But I want to go back to Jesus cried when his friend died. Jesus is God.
So I remember another part of this was, I was asking you, I remember, maybe this was the second part of the question, but I was surprised when you were coming back from that funeral that you weren't just like, like, you know, having to do this multiple times a year, that you just wouldn't be completely emotionally drained, like your cup just empty. So
now listen, there are funerals that I turn on crazy sad music on my drive home and just cry like a baby.
Yeah.
Or I love a good shower cry. Like, it's like, I'll just get in the shower and just cry. Like, I'm not saying doing it isn't easy. No. Leading funerals isn't easy, but it is holy. And there will be moments, and some are harder than others. The younger the person, it's hard. The connectivity I have with the family is hard. But it's also so, like, I had a friend call me last week and tell me she wanted me to officiate her mother's funeral. My gosh, do you know how honored I am to do that? Mm. Even in the sadness and the grief. And if I'm doing my job right, that funeral has nothing to do with me.
Right.
I believe my job as a pastor and as a leader of a church and as a leader of a service is to stand behind the Holy Spirit. And so when I am leaning fully into God and what God is doing in that moment, it's amazing. Doesn't mean it's not sad, but it's amazing.
One of the things we talked about previously in an episode was, you mentioned perspective.
It's my word. It's
your word. So do you think not only being a pastor, but having to be around death due to your role has given you a better perspective on it than maybe someone like me, who, like, the first time I've ever experienced death close to me was my grandparents dying last year, and I just don't have
Yeah. I think it gives me a very different perspective on death and life. It helps me not sweat the small stuff sometimes.
And could that be why some Christians are scared about death? It's just they don't have the perspective yet because we haven't.
Yeah, you don't know it. But I have the joy. I don't know if that's the right word. But I'm going to use it. Like, I mean, I do hospital visits as a part of my daily life. You know? Like, I walk in before somebody's having triple bypass surgery. And some hospital visits are babies being born, right? Like, it's not all. So our neighbor was dying and on hospice at home. And I would go by almost every day on the way home from work and just check in. And my girlfriend who lived across the street was like, how do you go from her house sitting with somebody who's dying to soccer practice?
Yeah.
That is a normal part of my rhythm. And I know it's not normal.
For everyone.
For everyone. But because it is an honor and a privilege that they open the door and they ask me to be a part of their house and their life in death. How special. And I'll tell you, rooms with people dying are some of the holiest spaces I've ever been a part of. That line that you've heard before of the thin veil between heaven and earth is lifted in death. Like, it just, the space feels holy. Because it's hard to articulate.
So do you think that, I'm going to harp back to something you said earlier to see now.
Gotcha. Here we go. You're focused.
You said earlier that the reason we are maybe not scared of it, let's just say scared of it, fearful of it.
Sure.
It's because we no longer have death in our lives. And it seems like some of the things that you're doing
for you brings
that into your life. Mm-hmm. Do you think we should, as Christians, do more? Like, I don't know how to, like, clearly we're not going to be invited in that room, but should we be doing more?
Should you invite death into your life? I don't know.
I don't know if that's the.
No, but what it is empathy.
Okay. Yeah.
Empathy for humanity is another thing. Like, and I recognize the place of privilege that we are coming from, right?
Yeah, we walk over homeless people here. So, right, gotcha.
Okay. So, but in that place of privilege, there is a lot of outsourcing of things. I grew up as a teenager babysitting for everybody in the church. That still happens. And there's a lot of nannies that are paid professionals who do. So this, like, empathy piece of my neighbor's lawn needs mowed. Well, my neighbor's hiring somebody to mow their lawn.
There's no more
right?
kids coming over.
Exactly. It's a different rhythm. I noticed it when I was focusing on parenting, is a lot of new parents this day and age didn't grow up babysitting.
Yeah, that's very true.
And so, like, I grew up taking care of babies and babysitting and dealing with toddler meltdowns. This family I babysit for my whole teenage life, like, prepared me for being the mom I am today.
Right.
Because they weren't easy. And I loved them, right? But, and I'm not saying today, I don't want to sound like back in my day. We've got to be intentional with empathy.
Yeah.
And seeing people for where they are. That's one thing I tell families is when somebody is in hospice care, and hospice is a huge spectrum, but when somebody is nearing the end of life, they want to talk about it.
Are you saying the person in that care or the,
yeah,
or the,
yeah,
the family
person
member
dying?
Who is...
The person okay. dying wants to talk about dying because they're dying. Like, when you have a new baby, what do you want to talk about? Your new baby. When you get a new car, what do you want to talk about? Your new car. Well, they've never died before. They want to talk about the fear they have in dying. They want to talk about the joy they have in dying. They want to talk about the questions. They might want to plan. I mean, that funeral, the family I got to walk from, like, diagnosis to death. Mm-hmm. And he helped plan his funeral. Like, his voice was in that room in a super cool way. And as a pastor, I walk away with a smile on my face of joy. I also shed a tear during that funeral, right? Like, and I will shed a tear again, you know? So there is both.
Did he have peace during that? Do you think, dude, like his faith is what carried him to be able to have that and be able to plan that?
Oh, yeah. I think so. But again, I mean, that's a him thing. But yeah, I see that in deep faith, the ability to let go to what is next.
Yeah.
Like that's, I can't imagine doing life and death without faith and a faith community to surround me and keep me and pull me through. And, you know, like it's holy. Death is, and so, you know, we'll go back. We'll start at the beginning again. What was the question?
Why are Christians sad? Wait. Now, maybe forgetting my own question. Why are Christians sad at funerals?
And it's because they lost somebody they loved. That's a normal, typical human reaction. Yet, and there is also hope in the sadness. There is hope in the death. There is hope in the resurrection. And that's what I get to bring to services is, yes, today, none of us want to be here today, and that's okay. But we get to celebrate this life well lived and the life that is continued on. People who have died have made me a better person today. And so that life is both living within me today, and they are already in their best life, right? And we get to celebrate that. Now, it doesn't always feel like a celebration. Some funerals are, man. It's joyful. Why not? The best funerals to me are those with tears and laughter.
Yeah.
That's what life is. So, yes, it is okay to be sad at a funeral, even if you have hope in Christ.
Okay. If you say so.
Well, I'm not just saying so. It just is. I cannot. What are you going to ask me next week?
I promise you I have some doozies coming up that, yeah.
Do I get to research any of these beforehand?
No. Then our conversations aren't as fun. Then the audience doesn't get to hear our...
Okay, so if you want Winston to ask me something that is going to make me shake in my seat...
You said shudder.
Shudder. Shake, shudder. Is that the same thing?
I think they're similar.
Shoot me an email, or you can shoot Winston an email. You're on the website, too. And let us know your questions of faith. I know one that's come up. I don't know if we're going to talk about but is how do you discern God's call? Like, how do you know if you're making a decision when you pray about it? So that's one that's somebody asked me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I don't know.
We kind of dipped into that a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
So, all right. We'll see y'all next week.
Later.
I hope that you found one thing that you can connect with this week to help build your daily faith life. If you'd like, you can join us on our Facebook community, Practical Faith, for weekly prayers, questions, and most weeks a 10-minute devotion. I also invite you to check out St. Andrew's website, standrewmethodist.org. Connect with us through different podcasts, online for worship, or come join us. We're always here to connect your life to your faith.